American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back.
Welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and anywhere else you happen to find the program. We now have retired Colonel Mike Ford, managing editor of American Free News Network, and Paul Engel from ConstitutionStudy.com, helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity through the study. Paul, welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight, Paul.
Glad I could make it.
Well, with you, I want to talk about this whole Speaker of the House mess, but the colonel down here, he had some more Israel solution ideas that he wanted to toss around on air and see if we can't get a call or two. So this being a live call-in show, we got the phone line open at 512-248-8252. If you don't want to be on air, but you still want to make a comment, you can text that to me at 64, my rights. That's 646-974-4487. So go ahead, Colonel. Let's hash out this idea that you have.
Hey, Paul. One of the things I was talking to Pete about in the previous segment is sooner or later, the IDF is going to go in there. They're going to clean house on the Gaza Strip. And then we got the then what? They don't want to get into a long-term occupation, because as soon as the remnants of Hamas recover from the shock and awe, then they're going to start throwing firebombs and everything in Israel. And the IDF is going to be locked into this, you know, house-to-house stuff. And they just really don't want to be there. It's kind of like the Brits in Northern Ireland. And what I was kind of proposing is, and I'd like your input on this, is get people with skin in the game. And Israel is not the only one with skin in the game as far as Palestinian terrorists. Okay? Egypt is another one with skin in the game, and so is Jordan. And if we could get a group led by Egypt and Jordan and get them to commit forces to police that place after the IDF leaves, and then those two countries get other Arab countries to help them, they can keep the Palestinian problem under control. And they're the ones that really need to solve it to begin with, because they're not allowing Palestinians in their countries for very good reason. And I think we need to co-opt them to help police the problem.
I agree that Egypt and Jordan should be involved. As you point out, first of all, right now, neither of them are allowing refugees. You got AOC, and so we got to let them into America. Well, how about you let them into their neighbors? The concern I have, or the cold water to throw on that, is Egypt and Jordan's position is not new. You know, they talk about the Palestinian land. The Palestinians have been the orphans of the Middle East since before Israel was created.
That's correct.
The problem you have with that is you have two countries that basically said, no, you stay out. Now they've got the one thing they've got is now they've got Israel they can use as a political whipping post to say it's all Israel's fault. No, it's not. Now, the question is, how do you get Egypt and Jordan to say they're our neighbors? We have to deal with them somehow. That's going to be the tricky part, because sadly, we're looking for a military solution to a social and religious problem. And, you know, I don't think you're going to get Egypt and Jordan until you deal with a social and religious issue. Then maybe you could find that they could help in the solution rather than sitting back and just watching the chaos.
I agree. To a point, but Egypt and Jordan seem to have gotten over the social and religious issue by recognizing and having full diplomatic relations with Israel. And they did that because U.S. presidents pushed for that. And the Abraham Accords came about because a very strong U.S. president removed the Palestinian veto from the peace process and mm-hmm. dealt with all the Arab countries himself and told the Palestinians, tough, you don't have a seat at the table. I would posit that if we get the right administration holding a stick in Washington, D.C., I would bet that the Jordanians and the Egyptians would fall all over themselves to help us out on this.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I agree that the fact that that Trump got the basically said Palestinians, if you're not going to accept anything, if you're just going to veto everything, go away. I'll make deals where I can. I don't know that that dealt with the religious and the religious problem or the social problem. You have to remember, you're dealing with the Sunni Shia differences, mm-hmm. Which is very much a part of not just. It's not just their religion. It's their culture. It's their way of life. It's as much a part of their society as apple pie and hot dogs on the 4th of July are here in the United States. I think those countries made their decision in their own self-interest. But I don't think that the religious and social have actually been dealt with. I think they've basically been stuffed into a corner but that's not dealing with the problem.
They may have been dealt with and leveraged. We know, you know, the Iranians are Shia.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis are mostly Sunni. Now mm-hmm. they've got those Wahhabi guys running around as part of the Sunnis, but they're still mostly Sunni. And I think it's in the best interest of the Jordanians and the Egyptians and the Saudis to keep the Shia in check. Because that puts Iran in check, because they're really scared of Iran. And if Iran gets nukes, you know, all bets are off. And I think we leveraged this, right? And Trump was able to do that. And, you know, were we in a Trump administration right now, none of this stuff would be happening. In fact, there might already be some sort of police force in Gaza right now, keeping that under control. That's alternative history, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you agree, and I tend to agree. The problem is, do the Egyptians, Jordanians, and Saudis agree, the only problem I have is if it's an American president keeping peace in the Middle East every 4 years, that now becomes a political point. And what happens when it's not a strong president? What happens when it's not a Trump, but it's a Biden, or even worse, it's a Bush?
Well, this is where my thing was before. My comment.
The thing you said about American presidents.
There's a reason why foreign policy was net with the Constitution does not place foreign policy in the hands of the president. It doesn't.
Tell me more.
Well, again, Congress is in charge of most of the relations with foreign nations. They deal with questions of international law. They are responsible for how we deal with their money. We sign treaties that have to be done with the advice and consent of the Senate. We didn't want one man setting our foreign policy, because that man's going to change. You turn him into a king, into a dictator.
Right.
He's supposed to be implementing foreign policy, but that policy is supposed to be established by law and by treaty, not by political partisanship or even personal preference.
Right. And now, and the way we operate now, we operate with I had a word for it in my book, and I just lost it. we have an executive that's just completely overreaching,
yes,
and doing whatever they want. We have an unchecked executive who thinks that the president can do all of the foreign policy and pick and choose what laws they want to enforce. And
we have a president that thinks he's a king.
Well, not just this president.
I don't think he thinks, to tell
every,
you the truth.
Every president in my lifetime, to one extent, right, or another, thought he's a king.
Exactly. Every president in our lifetime. All right, Tom in Florida on line three. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Yeah, hey, good day. Yeah, good day, gentlemen. Good evening. First off, the breaking news is that Robert Menendez's wife is just pleading for a plea deal. So, you know, it's kind of funny. You got a Democrat woman whose husband's a senator. He's going to probably be next. He's going to have to plead or go to jail, whatever. Then you had Sidney Powell cave in today, and they're going to give her six misdemeanor charges, and she better never go back into Georgia, whatever. And, you know, she better roll over on other people in the Republican Party. We're about to this whole thing is a giant cabal. But, you know, guys, I the reason I called the show is, you know, I'm hearing you guys going back and forth with Israel and Jordan and the Palestinians. In the meantime, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, but 76% of all the males coming through our border are men, military age. They don't speak English. They're coming in here. They're going to get 1% business loans. A Biden administration is going to do like they did with the Cubans when they came here. And now, let me tell you, just so you guys know, on the Miami-Dade County Commission, there's zero, I'm going to repeat that word, zero white American representation. There's not a white woman or a white male on the Miami-Dade Caucasian on Miami-Dade County Commission. They're Hispanic or Haitian. Just so you know, that's the model, the microcosm of things to come. They're going to fill it up, this country up like a bottle, put a cork on it, watch it explode. Okay? That's what they're going to do here. Now, going back to, and you know, you guys are talking about Israel and the Gaza and all that, the Palestinians. Yeah, nobody wants those Palestinians. That's like nobody wants in this country. Nobody, not an American citizen, want MS-13, but they're here. MS-13's in this country, gentlemen. And one county alone, I believe it's in Los Angeles, they have over 190,000 gang members that are not illegally supposed to be here. So what does that tell you guys? I'd like to have an answer on that from one of you guys. I'd like to also hear, you know, we got a country now that's looking more like Bosnia-Herzegovina with the different languages, okay? Pretty soon, you're going to have splintering groups of regions of this country where every ethnic group's going to want their own enclave. You've got to understand what they're trying to do here, okay? It's a Zionist occupational government, and they're Shabbos-going stooges that are allowing this. And they're controlling our... Look, one guy called on Jim's show yesterday. He gave you a figure from Los Angeles. There's supposedly what he... And I kind of agree with him. There's 1.7% of the United States population is Jewish. Okay? And I'm not saying all Jews are bad. There's wonderful Jews. Look at Mark Levin. I like Michael Sack. I like a lot of Jews. Matter of fact, I'm a Jew for Jesus. That's what I tell you. But here's the deal. When you got these people have such a hatred in their heart for Christians, we're in a big problem, gentlemen. When you have Christianity being brutalized and butchered, it's got to have to lead to something very bad. And I have to say this. We cannot as a nation even get our politics together. You couldn't even elect a guy like Jim Jordan today in the Congress to be a speaker. So who are they going to put in there? Akeem Jeffries, who's embracing Louis Farrakhan and all this all right. other nonsense? I mean, right, our Tom. Country's losing
slow
its
slow down,
train.
Tom. Slow down, Tom.
Okay, I'll slow down. I have to pump out the information because I'm, you know, I drink a little Cuban coffee, you know.
Can I address the influx with Tom there? You're running. You asked for us to comment on something, and the first thing I want to say is we can't talk about everything every show. I try to pick one or two topics and talk about one or two topics per show.
Okay.
Tonight it's I want to talk about the speakership here shortly with Mr. Engel. And with Colonel, we were talking about his idea for an Israeli solution. The southern border is a disaster. Our president is not enforcing our laws. He should be impeached for not enforcing our laws. He's not supporting and defending the Constitution as he swore to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Is it intentional? Are they intentionally bringing all of these people in to destroy the country? I don't think it matters whether it's intentional or not. They're doing it. We've got to get a stop to it, intentional or not. And that's one of the things that I agree with. It's just not part of the topic of this show.
Well, can I say something then about the Israeli situation, sir?
Sure.
I believe they've been going on for 2,000 years, the Arabs and the Jews. They're, you got to remember, they're half-brothers. They had the same father, Abraham. It's all biblical. It's all in the Bible. They had the same DNA. Their DNA is basically almost the same, half of it. And they still hate each other. There's not going to be no change in the next 1,000 years coming up, I don't believe, unless it could lead all to all-out nuclear war. I don't know. I hope not. But I can tell you, it's going on for thousands of years. And you know what? They shoot you, you shoot me, and that's how they are always going to be, those people. They I don't believe they're ever going to get along. They, you know, it's about land. It's about wealth. And, I, you know, being half-brothers, I believe they are. I like to hear your guys' thought off air. You know, they're from the same father in the Bible, in the Old Testament, called Abraham. And you know what? They still, to this day, won't admit that they're half-brothers. And until they start meeting, they were blood-related with DNA, I don't think they're ever going to get along. I think it's only going to get worse and worse. It's toward an all-out nuclear war. And it's going to probably be predicted Armageddon. That's what's in the Bible, in the New Testament, and I believe that's in Revelations, and I believe Revelations is coming to pass right now. And that's all I basically got to say about that Israeli situation. There ain't stopping it. You ain't nobody stopping it but God. It's all in God's hands. That's what I got saying. Thank you for taking the call, and God bless you all. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Tom. And I think Tom ended on a pretty good note, that he's right. The Jews and the Muslims, they both descended from Abraham. So why? And it has been 2,000 years of fighting in that region of the world, which is why I say, why are we involved?
Well, you're right. You know, you go back, you know, 6,000 years, they've been fighting from the beginning. Have you ever seen a blood feud as ugly as one that happens in a family? Have you ever seen a grudge held like they're held amongst a family?
Civil wars are the bloodiest.
Right?
Civil wars are always the bloodiest.
The Hatfields and the McCoys that went after each other for, what is it, like 75 years over a goat?
Yeah. But it was a pretty goat, so there is that.
But he ended it with an interesting question. Why are we involved? Initially the idea was, remember, when Israel was formed in 48, nobody recognized him until the United States did.
Yeah, but United States recognized him, what, 12 minutes after they'd signed the papers to make a country?
Yeah, well, the point is we were the ones that said, yeah, they, after the Holocaust, they deserve their land back. Here you go. The problem is, from my standpoint, I think a lot of it is there are a lot of moneyed interests in the Middle East.
No.
I mean, obviously, you've got oil. Israel has a tremendous tech sector. It has a tremendous pharmaceutical center, and people have an interest in Israel existing.
Well, and not to mention just the historical.
Oh yeah. So we have an emotional attachment, we have a financial attachment, we have a historical attachment, and let's face it, if your best buddy gets jumped in a parking lot, are you not going to jump in and help him? And that's kind of where we're stuck. Yeah,
but where we are now is our best buddy gets jumped in a parking lot every time we walk out the front door, and we keep helping him. At this point, we are enabling him to continue to get jumped.
And we have a solution for that. And the solution is, and I'll toss this one to Tom, is you have to put you're talking about enablers. You have to get the people that have skin in the game to deal with the problem so it doesn't show up on our shore, or in our case, have to send U.S. troops to Israel. We were talking about the problem at our southern border. Donald Trump looked up all the treaties that we signed about refugees, and he came up with, wow, there's a thing called first safe country, which essentially means that the only person who can apply at a land border of the United States as a refugee would be a Canadian or a Mexican.
Yep.
Okay. And Donald Trump looked that up by the book and said, yeah, that's what we'll do. Remain in Mexico, remain in Colombia or wherever. Okay. And it's the same thing. It's the same concept. What's going on with Gaza and Israel is have those folks over there deal with that stuff. So have the Egyptians and the Jordanians deal with it, and the Saudis and other folks that have a vested interest. Same thing with Mexico and Colombia, is you guys need to deal with that stuff, because when it shows up on our border, we're going to send them right back to you. So that's how you deal with that to keep us from being actively involved. You have to get the key players in the region involved to make them do what they're supposed to be doing. And okay. For that, you need a strong U.S. administration.
All right. Before we move
I agree,
on.
But I also think we need to turn around and stop saying, okay, Israel, this guy just punched you in the nose, kidney punched you, kicked you in the groin, give him a slap on the wrist and turn your back.
Yeah,
no, that's the other part of it.
You need to turn them loose. They need to be able to fight. You're right.
Hold on. My blood pressure is going crazy, so I think it's a great time to tell you about the wellness company. The wellness company, TWC.health. Use code Lighthouse while you're there. Great American-made supplements. Great doctors, pharmacists, pharmacological doctors. Great people who actually believe in your your medical well-being as well as your medical independence. Doctors that listen to what you want, not what people like Anthony Fauci tell you should want. So doctors and pharmacists who actually believe in listening to the patient, it's a novel idea these days. TWC.health, use code Lighthouse. I'm just tired of being involved as a country. I'm tired of my tax money going to fight wars all around the country, all around the world, and especially when it's the same area over and over and over again. Like the Middle East has been in war since the fall of the Ottoman Empire. Why do we keep sending money, sending our blood and treasure? When does it really matter where the line is on the freaking map at this point? Let them work it out. I don't care. Sorry.
I understand. And to a certain extent, I agree. The problem is, like I said, people have a moneyed interest. They have an emotional interest. But they also have, they're also in direct conflict with the anti-Semitic desires in this country that we're more than happy to watch the Hamas, Hezbollah, and all the others, push Israel into the sea. It's not something we're going to answer in a 1-hour program. Looking for peace in the Middle East has been a problem for centuries. We're not figuring it out here today.
You got that right.
And that is exactly my point. We know we're not going to fix it. We know we're not going to solve it as Americans. The other side of the globe, literally.
Well, we took on the role as America's policeman after World War II. We just refused to let the rest of the world grow up and take care of themselves.
Yeah, we should never have taken on that role.
Well, we were the only one left standing, so
yeah,
that was one of those things that just happened.
But why?
Why
does there need to be a world police force? Let whatever country fight it out with whatever country that they want to fight it out with by themselves. We had Washington's farewell address. I mentioned this at the opening of the show.
Yep.
Washington's farewell address, where he lists out many warnings for our country, one of which was avoiding foreign interests. And now we say, or foreign entanglements was the word he used. And now we're like, well, it was different back in the 18th century. Was it really, though? There were trade agreements in the 18th century. There were mutual defense agreements in the 18th century. The only thing different is it moves faster. It used to be that, oh my God, my neighbor attacked me and you said you'd help, but it takes 6 months before you get the notice that they attacked me. Now we know instantaneously. That's the only thing that has changed. All of the different kinds of treaties and agreements and all the BS that is causing the world's problems today all existed in the 18th century. And Washington said, avoid all that crap. And he was right.
But most Americans didn't listen. Most Americans said, listen, this is the greatest country that's ever been. This is the greatest systems. You should be exactly like me. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the problem with the foreign entanglements is we want everyone else to look just like us.
And I'll give you a perfect example of that. When we knocked out the Taliban in Afghanistan.
You got less than 60 seconds.
Okay. We wanted to create a really quick democracy there. So we got one person, one vote, as opposed to allowing each tribe to choose their reps to the Duma.
And that lasted, 20 minutes?
30 seconds.
All right, it's break time. Thank you very much, Colonel Ford, for joining us tonight. We're going to let you go. Hopefully, Mr. Paul Engel, you can stick around for the last segment of the show. We can talk about the speaker race. 3-minute commercial break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I'm Peter Sarafine, and this is the final segment of tonight's show. We got Paul Engel from ConstitutionStudy.com. I keep wanting to put the in front of your website. I know it's not there, but that's what makes me stumble at the beginning all the time. Because the show is The Constitution,
The Constitution Study. Study, yes.
The website is ConstitutionStudy.com.
I'm going to have to buy that domain name just so it would make your life easier. Well,
that would be great. Could you do that, please? Because now I know it's not there, but I still want to put it there, which makes me stumble over my words as I go to say it. Like
oh, sure. It's all my website's fault. I understand now, yeah.
Yes, it's your website's fault. Why can't you have continuity and consistency between your website name and your show name? No, it's just like the dash in my website. My website is Liberty-Lighthouse.com. Because somebody owns LibertyLighthouse.com and they want like $3,000 for it. And I'm like, nope. So I put a dash. Did we have enough Israel discussion? Because I really hate the Israel discussion.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. We can move on.
I really, really.
Like I said, we're not solving peace in the Middle East tonight, so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the speaker thing. You know,
oh, another war going on. Yeah.
Yeah, another war. Before we move on to that, your idea of impeachment. I'm a big believer that impeachment should have been used far more often than it is.
Oh, yeah.
And that the word misdemeanor, treason, bribery, treason, high crimes,
and misdemeanors.
And misdemeanors. And if you look up the word misdemeanor in,
Blackstone?
No,
1828.
Webster's 1828. It's like bad things that don't rise to the level of crime.
Yep.
Okay. So you can impeach somebody for something that's just bad, even if it's not criminal.
Correct. For example, like violating your oath of office.
Yeah.
The Thomas Jefferson warned that impeachment would become a scarecrow, that it basically would become a political tool, which it exactly did.
Yeah.
Because again, we lost that idea of a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor started becoming a crime, not a bad crime, but a crime. And we've lost that understanding. I mean, I can't remember the guy's name. There were judges that were impeached for being federal judges for being intoxicated while off duty.
Yeah.
I believe there was even a judge impeached for, for disobeying Congress, for looking at a law saying and ignoring the law for his. I mean, that there's a history of that. Probably would make a good article or book now you think of it, of the history of impeachment and understanding its role in keeping elected representatives and other government officials accountable to things like their oath.
What? No, we don't need that.
The people won't do it. We won't hire people that will do it. Because that's the other part of the problem. You think about impeachment. When was the last time you saw a member of the House of Representatives run on impeaching somebody? It was the Democrats running on impeaching Trump.
Right.
Now, you look at some of the impeachments that have come out. Marjorie Taylor Greene has submitted a couple of articles. And their political moves, you look at it and say, okay, is it bribery, treason, a high crime? None of those. Is it a misdemeanor? You're more talking about political stuff than you are actual bad behavior.
I'll give you that.
And the problem I have with it is you've got the bribery. The bribery is like right there. You've got the high crime. It's right there. Yet they're piddling over some of the misdemeanors. And who decides when a misdemeanor is bad enough to impeach a president? It's the House of Representatives. But right. Our representatives don't do it. So they didn't impeach Hillary Clinton. They didn't impeach who was Obama's attorney general? Drawing blank on his name.
I don't know. Lois Lerner. You say Obama.
He was cited for contempt of Congress. They never even tried to impeach him. They never even tried because it turned into a political game.
Well, are you familiar with Lloyd Brunson in his case? The Brunson brothers out of.
Yes. Italy? Yes.
Okay. Their whole case stems on Article 6 of the Constitution. Senators and representatives before mentioned and members of the several state legislators, all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, et cetera, et cetera. If there's no punishment for not following your oath, what's the binding? It says bound by oath. There has to be a punishment.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be things like impeachment, loss of office. Let's face it. How can you tell when a politician is lying?
Their lips are moving.
Yet the American people not only knowingly hire liar, cheats, and thieves, the ones that do it the best, we keep around the longest.
Yeah.
So as often as we're pointing the fingers at the members of the representatives and the administration, remember that all comes down to the people in the voting booth deciding who's going to represent them, And will they hold them accountable to their oath or office or not?
Yeah.
Because if you're not willing, to vote someone out of office, that it, I don't care because they're a donkey or an elephant, even though they've committed a federal crime. If you're not willing to vote them out for that, then what does it matter? Then we don't have, you know, we have less of a republic, and what we have is a political grudge match. It might as well be political mud fighting.
That is a great way of looking at it, a political grudge match. That is basically what it's come down to.
Which Mr. Washington also warned us about in his farewell address.
Factions, I think was the word he used.
The spirit of dissent, common in, I forget, nouns are on a blank. I've got it quoted somewhere, but the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension is its own frightful despotism.
But he had the idea at the time was that because of the vastness of our country, that factions would fizzle out before they would form. Of course, he didn't understand or know about telephones or even telegraphs back then or internet or whatever. So the speed of communication.
It was a fallacy to begin with. The faction started in at the beginning. You remember the 1800 election.
Oh, yeah.
The presidential election, where you ended up with a Federalist and the Anti-Federalist as president and vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the 11th Amendment.
Mm-hmm. And what was it? I forget how many times did the House have to vote?
12th Amendment. 12th Amendment, not 11th.
How many times did they have to vote in the House have to vote in the 1800 election? Like 35 times or something that?
It was ugly.
Yeah, it was really ugly.
It also led to the first attempt to pack the courts. It just wasn't the Supreme Court.
Yep, it was. You are absolutely correct. Okay, so let's go back to the current nonsense in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Matt Gaetz stands up and says, I declare the speakership vacant. It goes to a public floor vote, which was the rule for a really long time, that any one person could stand up and say that, and then they had to vote on it.
And I think one was originally a small group. The big change came when Pelosi changed it to it had to come from leadership.
Yeah. Right. So Pelosi really changed the rules.
Right.
It may have been, three the first time around or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was something very small. Not a very high bar to at least call for the vote.
No.
Which makes sense. So Matt Gaetz stands up, calls for the vote, and it passes. And now we got McHenry as the temporary. Or
the acting speaker, right?
And let's see.
Not quite acting speaker, but kind of filling some of that role, yes.
All right. So first we got Steve Scalise, who fails.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jim Jordan tries twice and fails both times. Now Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan have both said that they're not running for again.
I hadn't heard about Jordan bowing out.
Yeah, I just heard that today.
Okay.
He's now supporting a move to give more power to the Speaker pro tem and basically make him acting Speaker for the rest of the year. And this is the constitutional question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, is that constitutional? Is that legal?
Can
we have a Speaker that wasn't elected by the members of the House?
The House gets to choose how they choose their speaker. It's completely within their purview.
Right.
They get to decide. They set the rules for how you choose a speaker. I'm not familiar with those rules because I'm not playing the petty party politics that the speaker fight has become.
Right.
This is a Republican pissing match, right. I'm not upset with Gaetz for what he did, because what we saw was McCarthy was acting like every other Republican speaker, and that is refused to stand up for the principles of the Republicans wanted.
Right.
He made a promise. He refused to keep it. He was more than willing to deal. His idea of governing is we had to pass something. I don't care what ton of garbage it is. Yeah. We had to pass something. And that is what we've been doing for decades. And that has led to this mess. So the question is, can we find another one? Everything since then I have heard, every discussion, every debate, politician, pundit, it's a question of it's all about party politics. It's nothing about actually governing.
No.
You're absolutely right. Going, wait a second, we have appropriations bill. By law, Congress has to pass a budget. We aren't doing that.
Yeah, but
that
we haven't passed a budget since what, 2003?
It's ridiculous. And finally, when you've got a handful, just a handful of Republicans saying, if you're not going to do the job you said you're going to do, we will fire you and find somebody else. Right. And ever since, it's political infighting. I don't like you because, well, by kicking McCarthy out, now you make the Republicans look bad. I'm not going to support Scalise because I don't like him. I liked McCarthy. I'm not going to support Jordan. It's all petty. I mean, they might as well be a bunch of mean girls in high school. And that's and that's about as much respect as I have for the entire process so far, because not one person has said, listen, we took an oath to the American people to represent them. We promised to do things. And if we cannot find one person out of this entire group that we believe that we trust to actually move what the American people have told us to do forward, to actually fulfill our oaths of office, then we don't deserve the office of representative. They don't deserve it because they're more interested in their petty partisan politics. They're more interested in the person than they are in somebody that would actually get the job done. That would actually say, Democrats, if you're not going to vote for an appropriations bill, then you're not voting for an appropriations bill. And when the government shuts down, we're going to make sure, we don't care about the news media. We know they're going to lie about it. We're going to make sure every one of your constituents knows that they're not getting their services because you refuse to come to the table and negotiate. If you're not going to, Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly. You got to carry that big stick.
Yeah. But all right, let's talk about it, the McHenry thing for a second, though. Mm-hmm. So the House makes their own rule of how they come up with their speaker. So if they want to give McHenry this temporary power of speaker until January, mm-hmm. without him being elected to the job, that would have to go through the Rules Committee.
And get passed. I don't know the details of the rule. That as they currently stand, I don't study the partisan nonsense they call the House rules. Most of the House rules are more about partisan politics than they are about running the House. So I don't know if it passes the rules or not. Let's face it, this House hasn't followed the rules for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Do you really think they're going to start worrying about that now?
Yeah, good point.
These are a bunch of spoiled brat children throwing a temper tantrum. It's time to say, fine, if this is how you're going to treat your promise to us, if this is how you're going to treat us as your employers, you're fired.
Yeah, we definitely need a lot more of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really bothers me how many people in Washington, D.C., especially the elected people, rarely mention the Constitution or the constitutional authority to do whatever it is that they're going to do, or this. They talk about, you know, this law. Well, we've got a law that says this. Well, I don't give a crap what your law says if it doesn't line up with the Constitution.
Yep.
And they do it all the time. The whole.
Well, like we said, when do they pay a price for such arrogance?
They don't. And that's.
See, Tennessee has, and actually I've been re-engaging with this. Tennessee proposed a bill in the last session, and they're going to re-propose it in the next session to set a procedure for Tennessee to nullify federal actions. unconstitutional federal actions.
Okay.
You say, no, we didn't authorize you. You can't do it here. Period. End of story. We won't help. The one thing I'd love to see is I'd love to see situations where they put teeth behind it. We're not going to do it, and we won't let you do it either.
Right.
There's a two levels of but we need more states to start saying, hey, we put rules on here. I just sent an email. The Speaker of our House and our Lieutenant Governor have formed a working group,
mm-hmm.
to look at whether or not Tennessee should continue to accept federal education funds. I sent them an email going, I want to be involved. I will speak to you. I'll testify. I want to know what's going on because as a constitutional scholar and a Tennessee citizen, I'm extremely interested in this particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping I can get someone to answer my eternal question about education funding. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Has anybody actually looked and see what does it cost to implement all the federal regulations compared to the money? If the federal government's going to hold money over your head if you don't do this, then is it actually worth it?
Well, I mean, come on. You know as well as I do that since the Federal Department of Education was created in 1979, went into effect in 1980.
Right.
We have increased the amount of money we spend per student while simultaneously watching our test scores go down. We spend more money per pupil than any country in the world except one. I forget which one. One of the Scandinavian countries spends a little bit more than we do. But yet we continue to slide down the rankings as how smart our graduates are. So clearly, the Federal Department of Education, not only being unconstitutional, is also incompetent.
Well, you're surprised?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, why aren't more states doing what you're saying Tennessee's looking at?
Part of it is ignorance. All right? We've been brainwashed into believing whatever Congress says goes. We've been brainwashed into believing the federal government should be involved in that. We've been brainwashed into these things. The other problem is fear.
What happens when
think of you're a state legislator and you're looking at a law like, hey, let's tell the federal government to go pound sand. Let's say they pass the federal government goes pound sand. And of course, they're going to be pilloried by every media outlet from Maine to Southern California. How many of them think, gee, I wonder if my constituents are going to support me in this?
A lot of them think that.
See, we're more than willing to attack them. We never support them when they're right.
We also, you have to know that they're also thinking, 30% of our budget comes from federal grants. If we tell them to go pound sand on this issue over here, what's going to happen to our money coming in over here?
Which is why I want that question answered. Because if 30% of your budget is... comes from the government grants, but 40% of your budget is spent on fulfilling government federal regulations, the math turns out real easy, real quick.
Yeah, good point.
Right? But, again, they're greedy. It's not their money. They don't care. But many of them, even the ones that would consider it, most of them probably feel like they're standing alone in the middle of the battle because nobody stands with them. When I talk to my sheriff about protecting my rights, when he said that he trains his deputies that their first and primary responsibility is to protect the rights of everybody there, my immediate response was, what can I do to help?
Right.
I will help train. I will write a position paper. I will be at a press conference. I'll help testify before a committee. If you're protecting my rights, I will support you. I said the same thing to one of my state rep when we were dealing with our three little bad children in the Tennessee House of Representatives. I said, if you stand up, I'll stand with you. How can I help? We need to be a little less lazy when it comes to Absolutely. When it comes to supporting our representatives. When they do the you got to punish the bad employee when they do something wrong. You got to give them a carrot when they do something right. And we just don't do that.
We don't stand up at all. Like, by and large, the people in our country have been beaten down to the point that they don't even care. They're apathetic, and they just let the government walk all over. I mean, come on, look at the COVID restriction nonsense. That was clearly unconstitutional. And 90% of us went along with it.
Yeah. I got called. I was told I wanted to kill grandma for pointing out that, I don't have to do business with this company if they want me to get a shot. I refused to fly because I was waiting for the airlines to say, you have to get a shot. But I was called all sorts of names. Wait a second. Turns out I'm right. I wonder how many of those people that called me names when I was pointing out the lack of evidence that masks work, that the vaccine works. Not one of them has come back and said, Paul, you're right. We're sorry.
No, and they won't. No. They never will.
No.
One of the things that you talked about, you support your sheriff because your sheriff says that he teaches all of his deputies to support, that their first job is to support your rights. That's my first question to anybody wanting my vote. My first question to anybody asking for my vote is, what is the purpose of government? And if they give any answer other than to secure the rights of our citizens, then you don't get my vote. You're wrong. That's the only acceptable answer. That is the foundation of why we are a country, is we threw off every other form of government in the world and said, you know what? Rights come from God. They come to us. And we elect people like you to protect them. And if you can't answer that one question, you don't deserve to be in government.
Then these rights... governments are instituted among men. I do something a little differently. I asked them, I said, show me where you fulfilled your oath to support the Constitution when it cost you something.
Yeah.
Because I'm past words. I need actions. And if all you can do is tell me, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative. Wrong answer.
No, that's not
true. You've lost. You've lost before you even started.
Oh, I'm a conservative. What are you trying to conserve? If your answer is not the Constitution, you're wrong.
How do you define a conservative? How many people argue about what a conservative means? Saying you're conservative isn't doing something.
No, it's not.
And, what's funny, from my point of view, when it comes to political parties, a pox on both their houses.
I agree. I heard that show of yours recently.
What's interesting is my county GOP has had me come to speak to them several times. They actually asked me to help them. Their chair asked me to help them draft a document that he wanted everybody to agree to from a constitutional standpoint. They've asked me to, and I've been more than willing to. Democrats, haven't heard anything from them. Mm-hmm. I've actually reached out a couple times and says, do you want me to? I will be more than willing to come and talk about the Constitution. All right. Now, I don't care. And I tell I tell every elected official I've met at all these meetings, listen, a pox on both your houses. Because as soon as you put the donkeys and elephants above the Constitution, from that point on, you violated your oath of office. And I really don't care what you say. If I can't trust you to keep a promise, I can't trust you, I couldn't trust you to drive my car, babysit my child, who's now 24 years old. I can't trust you. And if I can't trust you, why would I, if I can't trust you to keep your promise, why would I trust you with anything else?
Yeah. Well, as many times as I ask politicians on this show, what's the purpose of government? I've only had one answer the way I wanted them to answer. Hmm. And that was somebody from the Constitution Party. Is the only one. Anyway, Paul, before we run out of time, tell people where we can find you. Tell us about your show, your stuff, your works, your whatever.
Best place to find me is constitutionstudy.com. I basically went through a revamp. The whole website's been revamped. All my articles, all my videos are there. I've started a news feed. So every night I go through about 600-700 articles, headlines, looking for content for my radio program for whatever. And now the ones I find interesting, I start putting links up on the website. So if people want to follow that, there's there. I am on America Out Loud Talk Radio every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find out more at AmericaOutLoud.news. It also goes to podcast a day or two later. So you've got the website podcast, you've got the radio station podcast, and now I've just launched the Patriots program. We've been talking a lot about, you know, what do we do? And we've got a lot of groups that have their own ideas and their own agendas. What I haven't seen is, okay, we need education. We need a way to communicate. We need a way. We need people that are willing to stand up and do something, activate. Mm-hmm. So I created the Patriots program, and it's an invitation-only program. The only way you can become a Patriot is if you go to the website, you go through the boot camp, which is a one-hour video, you pass the test, you say, yes, I'm going to read and I'm going to study the Constitution, I'm going to use it to defend my country, then you can be invited to join us to help all these groups actually have a constitutionally sound point of view.
Awesome. I love a constitutionally sound point of view. It'd be nice to see that someplace, anywhere. Anyway, thank you to our guests for joining us this evening. Thank you, Mike, my producer. I couldn't do the show without you. Thank you, most of all, listeners and callers, for why we do this show. And until next week, protect your liberty. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. Will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.